Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
All right, guys, we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we are going to talk about, finally, Caleb Plant and Canelo is done. We're going to give you all the details here. Also, too, some news with Gervonta Davis. He was involved in a plane crash yesterday. Luckily, he's okay, and we'll have all the details for you also. But first, let's get started with the big fight this weekend, Fox pay-per-view, Manny Pacquiao versus Yordanis Ugas for Ugas' WBA welterweight championship. Yordanis Ugas wins a unanimous decision over Pacquiao by the scores of 115, 113, and 116 to 112 twice. I had the fight scored 118 to 110 for Ugas. I tell you what, man, Ugas did a great job controlling the distance. I think that's what I noticed right away yesterday. Is that he's a close-in fighter, but yesterday he was using that jab, really controlling that distance, and he was disrupting Pacquiao's timing with the jab. I knew that Pacquiao was probably going to be faster, obviously, at the beginning of the fight than the end, just logic. But the thing is that Ugas, every time Pacquiao got set, he would jab him, boom. Or every time he saw Pacquiao flex, he jabs him. And it took Pacquiao right out of the rhythm. And, you know, it's almost like he studied the Floyd fight, almost like he studied that Marquez fight. He's, you know, because those jabs, like I said, man, timing beats speed, you know, and that's just the way it was, and that's the way it was yesterday. I was talking to Beeb through the fight last night. We were texting each other back and forth. One of the issues that we had was, and I know he was throwing more punches than Pacquiao, or not throwing, but landing more punches than Pacquiao, but we both thought he needed to throw more punches because I thought, you know, we both thought, hey, you know, he won this fight, but it's Pacquiao, and you're in Vegas. And, you know, we've heard a lot of things, you know, we've seen a lot of things with Vegas judges, that kind of thing. The other thing that concerned me, too, was before the fight when they announced the referee, that was the referee that took a point away in his last fight. He didn't seem to favor Ugas in the fight, let's put it that way. I was surprised that Ugas' camp didn't petition that to try to get rid of this guy and to try to put another referee in there. That was just surprising to me, knowing the track record with this guy. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it all worked out. The body work also from Ugas, I think, took a toll on Pacquiao. I was surprised to see Ugas go to the body so much, and I was surprised to see how effective it was. He did a great job, man. He really did. Pacquiao looked sluggish in the later rounds. His legs weren't the same. I was saying that I didn't think his legs were the same from the Thurman fight. And the announcers were saying, Keith Thurman was saying, yeah, that's the Pacquiao I fought. Look how fast he is in the dressing room and everything. Listen, man, you know, shadow boxing and everything like that, or hitting the bag and everything, it's great. But once you get in the ring, that's the more telling story. And that's, you know, you're going to see you got to do this for 12 full rounds, not, you know, 30 seconds of a sound clip. So, the inactivity to me anyway, the inactivity looked like it finally caught up with him. The age finally caught up with him. You know, Ugas, of course, is just, you know, he's been fighting. So he's going to be, you know, more tuned. A lot of people said Pacquiao looked rusty. No, Pacquiao looked his age last night. And like I said, it just caught up with him. There was a lot of much ado, turned out about nothing, about the left arm yesterday. The whole Twittersphere was saying, you know, oh, look at his arm, you know, his left arm and his bicep. There's kind of a bump on his arm or something like that.
You didn't see the video I sent you?
What did they say? I didn't get a chance to watch the video.
He's being interviewed, and he's got an ice pack on his left arm, and they're asking him, is there something wrong with your arm?
Right, but he said no. He said he always ices it.
That's normal?
Sure.
Always icing arm?
A pitcher always ices his arm. Did you know that? Like every time he throws, they always wrap him in ice, a pitcher. He's good friends. I don't know if you know this, but he's good friends with Aroldis Chapman, former Cincinnati Red, Titletown son. Makes perfect sense to me.
It makes perfect sense.
I know it doesn't, but it makes perfect sense to me.
Not for a boxer. But anyways, because you're supposed to be warmed up. You're not supposed to be cooled up. But anyways, I think it's an injury that he probably had his whole life and got a flare-up. Because that's why I said, is there something wrong with his right arm? Because at the weigh-in, his left arm was twice the size of his right arm, and it was swollen. There's definitely something wrong with that arm, whether he's going to admit it or not. There's something wrong with it, but obviously not enough to deter him from winning the fight.
I mean, you know, here's the thing, man. He was like, he was using that jab constantly last night. So if there was anything wrong with that arm,
so he had the whole arm covered in an ice pack during an interview. That's not normal, bro.
Could just be the way he.
Eric, just say it's not normal.
Could be
just
the way. I'm not going to do
Eric,
it.
Eric, just say it's
I'm not going to do it. Not going
to
do
admit
it.
It.
Not going
to
do
hold
it.
On to your.
His
don't hold
best
on to your
friend is a pitcher. That's what they
has
do.
Nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with it.
I don't know that. You're still holding on to the fact that his arm was injured?
Without question, his arm was injured.
He threw it like a billion times yesterday. But he threw it. No, it wasn't the fact that he won. He didn't win with his right hand. He won with his jab.
Listen. There's something wrong with that arm. It's not normal to have your arm swollen like that and have a lump on your arm, and it's not normal to be doing an interview with somebody and icing your arm. Just, it's not normal.
Yeah.
Fighters don't do that. This, whether it had an impact on the fight or not doesn't mean there's not a problem with it. Andre Ward had a jacked up shoulder his whole career before he got surgery on it. So did Miguel Cotto. They still won fights. They still became champion. What I'm telling you is the evidence is clear. There's an issue with that left arm. Whether or not it had an impact on the fight, that can be debated. But there's an issue with that left arm.
I don't think so.
You don't ice an arm.
You do ice an arm.
Where's my ice pack? How come my arm's not ice?
You're not a professional.
We're not professionals.
You and I are professionals.
I went to the gym today. A boxer does not ice his arm after. I've never seen it, unless you're hurt. But let's move on.
Move on. He wasn't injured.
Do a poll.
You can do as many polls as you want. Do a poll. Watch the fight.
You're just not going to cap to it. That's all.
I'm not going to cap to it. No. Because I'm not a doctor.
You're going to normalize somebody icing their arm during an interview.
I am.
All right.
I'm going to normalize it.
All right.
You know what's funny, though?
Grab an ice pack.
You know what I thought was funny, though? Everybody on Twitter going on and on about this arm. I mean, and you had everybody saying,
the problem. Like, everyone was
muscle,
dying.
This is that.
So everyone was diagnosing it. Now none of us can diagnose it unless we have an MRI.
A lot of people were diagnosing it yesterday.
I just know that whether it could be injured from a prior injury that was a flare up, and he just never got it fixed or whatever. But that arm is not 100%, in my opinion.
Did that arm look 100% to you yesterday?
Performance wise, absolutely more than 100%.
There you go. There you go.
I have a torn labrum in my right arm. Watch this. I can still throw a right hand like I always could.
Look at that snap.
It's called therapy.
Look at that snap, son.
The body is the greatest adapter. The body is an adapter. One of my legs is longer than the other. I put a fucking orthotic in there, and I'm back. You know what I'm saying? The body learns to adjust to its deficiencies.
I agree.
That's it.
I agree. I still don't think the arm was injured. Anywho, as far as Pacquiao
would
goes after this.
That it's not normal, though? Would you at least admit that it's not normal like the other arm is? Could you at least admit at one point something was probably torn in that arm or whatever, or like he injured that arm at one point in his life?
At one point in his life, yes. Whether I know that or not, is that possible? Sure, it's possible that he injured
at
one point.
Do you suspect it?
I think it's possible. I don't know if I suspect it or not. I'm not a doctor. That's not my area of expertise.
You don't have to be a doctor. Like if someone falls down on the concrete and you see their bone popping out, you know that the bone's probably broken. I mean, you don't have to, you know, certain things are obvious. Like if someone is icing an area down, that means that there's inflammation in that area.
I will tell you.
Why would there be inflammation in that area?
I can tell you.
There's something in there that's causing the inflammation. You don't have to be a doctor to diagnose that.
Listen, I can tell you this, that there's been multiple times I thought like a bone was broken. I was a soccer injury. My finger
was
like this.
Bruised.
I couldn't move it, and it was out here. I thought it was completely broken, dislocated. Wasn't broken.
But there was something wrong with your hand, though.
Well, sure, there was something wrong with my hand.
Okay.
The patient knows when there's something wrong with them. Patient's not a doctor. Patient doesn't know the severity.
That's correct. But I want to also talk about the age thing. Without question, obviously, he's not the same as he was
right
5 years ago or 10 years ago. But what I will say is I don't think he looked 42 yesterday. But I do think that the style matchup of Ugas, I think Ugas scouted him perfectly. It was similar to Marquez. Like Marquez knew what he was going to do, and he could anticipate it before he did it. And you broke it down perfectly when you described the jab, how effective it was. Because every time he moved forward, he timed him with the jab perfectly, and he disrupted him. And he stopped him in his tracks, and he prevented him from entering in the pocket where he wanted to be. So he stopped the ambush. He stopped the in and out movement of Pacquiao, which was great. You know what I mean? And another thing he did was he always loops that right hand. But I thought in the Porter fight, he kind of looped it a little too much where he took some leverage off of it and became more of an arm punch. This time he looped it just enough. And you could see when he landed it, he was actually, I don't know if you noticed this, but he was actually snapping Pacquiao's head back, and it was hurting Pacquiao more. In the Porter fight, he was landing it, but he was kind of not landing it perfect, like just right enough to like stun Porter or hurt Porter. He was just scoring points with it when he landed it against Porter. In this fight, even not only with the right hand, but the jab, the punches had an effect on Pacquiao because you could see Pacquiao's head being snapped back and he was actually pushing. I thought he sat down on his shots better this time. I thought even when he went to the body, he dug really good. Go ahead and grab that super chat real quick, and I'll finish my point.
Omar Rodriguez, thank you so much, man. Salute. He said, don't know if you guys already covered this, but is there any news that Ceja is okay after that KO? I don't know if he's okay. What I've read is that he was taken to the hospital after the fight and that he was there was no brain bleeds. There was no brain bleeds, but he suffered a broken orbital. So I think that's really good news. Now, whether he was responsive or not, it didn't say. I'm assuming he was, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, so, I'm sorry.
I'm sure the age had some type of factor. I don't think it had as big of a factor as, like, people are saying. Like, people are saying, oh, Pacquiao got old last night. I mean, oh, okay, yeah. He's older, and he's not the same Pacquiao. But Ugas is 35 years old, too. And
Who knows if he's 35?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a long amateur career. He's had his... issues in his career, ups and downs or whatever. I think I want to say this was more of a style matchup problem for Pacquiao, because like I said, I had him beating Porter too, and I had him beating Porter by the same. I had him beating Porter 117 and 111, just like one of the judges did, and I had this fight 117 and 111. The only difference I saw in this fight compared to that fight was I thought his shots were a little bit harder and sharper and crisper this time. Right? And I thought he actually hurt Pacquiao. And then people were saying, well, Pacquiao wasn't moving enough. He stopped moving in the second half of the fight. Well, he couldn't move like he wanted to because he was second-guessing himself, because every time he did try to move forward, every time he did try to dart in, as you said, and I agree with you 100%, he was being touched up with the jab. And the jab was incredible last night. But I do like that little adjustment. I thought he didn't throw the right hand as wide as he did in the Porter fight and as he normally does. I thought he looped it just enough to get it around Pacquiao's guard, but still keep some leverage on it and keep some power on it and turn it over to actually buzz Pacquiao and stun Pacquiao. And the body work was incredible. I just thought that he was controlling the fight. And ironically enough, too, I had the fight even after six. All three judges had the fight even after six as well. The big difference was the second half of the fight. From round 7 through 12, two judges only gave him one round. One judge gave him two rounds. He gave him like the ninth and the tenth. I don't know how you could give Pacquiao the tenth. I was talking to D-Style, and he was saying like the ninth and the 11th could have been swing rounds or whatever. So if I gave the ninth and 11th to Pacquiao, I would have had it 115 and 113. But most people I talked to had it like 116 to 112, and they gave Pacquiao like either the ninth or the 11th in the second half of the fight. But clearly, this fight was won in the second half of the fight. That's where Pacquiao started slowing down because nothing he was doing was working. So he was kind of trying to, figure it out, and he couldn't figure it out at that point. He was running out of ideas, in my opinion. And obviously he was getting tired because you're not going to be able to get hit that cleanly and flush like that and have your head snap back like that and have it not have an effect on you and not slow you down. And the body shots as well, I think, were underrated. Just like he landed a lot of body shots against Porter that I thought the judges really didn't count.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, like I said, I was surprised that he went to the body and was effective as well as he was. But again, he dictated that range so well. I mean, he used that reach advantage and everything like that. It was just a bad style matchup for him. It really was. It was a bad style matchup for Pacquiao. He's just a solid boxer. And, you know, Pacquiao does have trouble with boxers, man. He really does. He had trouble with Floyd. He had trouble with Marquez. You know, he's got trouble with boxers, you know. And this guy is just a solid, you know, boxer. He's from the Cuban school. He's a solid guy, man. You know, as far as Pacquiao's career goes now, you know, I think, you know, as far as like, you know, I think he got old. You know, me personally, I thought he got old in the Thurman fight. You know, like I said, I didn't see that same movement that I'd seen in the past and everything like that. I thought he was really slowing down in that Thurman fight.
He slowed down a bit.
Yeah, and this one, you know, you got to take him, like I said, he's older, and then he's been off for 2 years. It's tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to come back. I mean, you and I both know. I was talking to my dad about this, too. I said, you know, we both know that, you know, like when you get up in the morning, sometimes you have aches and pains, you know, being older.
Yeah.
It just comes with the territory.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, you can't get out there and run with the younger guys like you used to, you know.
No.
It just doesn't work that way anymore. They're just more athletic. They're going to be more athletic. They're going to be, you know, faster and, you know, stronger or whatever. You know, you may have more knowledge in them, but they're going to be more athletic. So it's tough for them, you know. It's tough for somebody at 43 to go in there and get this done, man. It really is. It's a hard thing to do. Guys, also to smash the like button, man. Come on, guys. We got a lot of people watching. I need some more likes in here. So hit that like button. Come on, it doesn't cost you a thing. Guess who's hit it? That's it. Just hit the like button. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I mean, the age is definitely going to have a factor. But I guess my point is I don't want to take away from the style matchup either. I just thought Ugas fought a beautiful fight, too. I just thought he had it. And let me ask you this, Eric. What about that conspiracy theory that Spence pulled out because they wanted to have Pacquiao, PBC and Fox wanted to have Pacquiao for two fights? I guess that one went down the drain, right?
Let me ask you this. How much money did they give Spence to step aside and fake an eye operation? How much money did the PBC do?
Whoever. I mean, and the ophthalmologist, how much did they pay that guy who's making $500,000 a year?
Right. Yeah, right.
And went to college for 12 to 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just gonna throw his career away just so, you know, he could lie on a medical report and an imaging report just so Spence can pull out of the fight.
Right.
Spence was, you know, and Spence didn't pull out. He was denied a license.
Right. There's a difference.
He didn't pull out of the fight. He was denied a license.
He didn't pull a Charles Conwell. He was denied. Like you said, he was denied a license. Yeah.
He was not allowed to fight. It was not his choice. So the only person that wins here is Ugas. Everyone else loses.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
I don't think we lost. We had a good, I think we had a pretty decent pay-per-view.
I think so too. I didn't care for the co-main, but everything else was good.
Yeah.
They were all good fights. Were they name fights? No, but they were solid, good fights. The boxers showed up. You know, Dale from Chi-Town, thank you so much. I appreciate it. He says, salute for the t-shirt, Eric. South side, baby. South side. Yeah, so what's next for Pacquiao? I don't think that, you know, from what I saw last night, he's not going to beat Boots Ennis. He wouldn't beat he's not going to beat any. Could you imagine Errol Spence in there last night? Errol Spence would have wiped him, man.
See, that's the thing. I'm not I don't know how that would have been. I don't know how that fight would have played out. I'm just curious. Because I don't know. I think Lucas beat Spence, in my opinion.
That could be the next fight coming up. And that's a great fight, man. That's a really good fight.
Could that Pacquiao we saw last night have beaten the Spence that beat Danny Garcia?
No.
I don't know. But I guess you'd have to say no, right? But I think it could have been interesting. Because Spence isn't really that counterpuncher like Ugas. I don't know. I think Spence is – I don't think – and you know what I think is also underrated from Ugas? And tell me if I'm wrong. He's got a very underrated defense. He's hard to hit
16%.
Clean.
Pacquiao landed 16% of his shots.
Yeah.
And as close as he's standing to him, he's got a real tight defense.
Yeah.
He's big, and he's hard to hit. He really is.
I still think this is – crazy to say, but I think maybe Pacquiao would have given Spence a better fight than he gave Lucas, because I think Spence isn't as good defensively, and he's not a counterpuncher, you know, and he's very aggressive, and he gambles and takes chances. He could have opened himself, and plus, also, he wouldn't have to worry about the right hand. He would be moving away from Spence's power hand. I mean, anyone that says Spence, I just think it would have been easier for Pacquiao to have hit Spence than it is to hit Ugas. Because I don't even think Porter landed a lot against Ugas. I think in that fight, Ugas landed a higher percentage of his shots than Porter did his against Ugas.
Mm-hmm.
Ugas has a way of just stifling his opponent's offense, Eric, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Spence has that. I think Spence just blows you out.
Well, look at the Spence that fought Mikey Garcia.
Yeah,
that was he boxed that fight. I mean, he kind of played Mikey's game and boxed that fight.
He did.
And I could picture him doing the same thing to Pacquiao. I could picture him doing the exact same thing.
Garcia is one of the rare fighters that probably has slower feet than Spence. Because Spence, I don't think, has the quickest feet in the world, but Garcia doesn't have quick feet either.
Pacquiao didn't have quick feet last night, though.
I thought he slowed down in the second half of the fight. I thought he got off to a pretty decent start.
I think those body shots helped that out. I really do.
For some reason, I just think that Spence would have given Pacquiao more opportunities than Ugas did last night.
I think that's a fair point. I don't know that.
And that would have made the fight more interesting, I think.
That being said, I don't think Pacquiao could have done anything with Spence as far as knocking him out and everything like that.
No, I don't think. I think the fight would have gone the distance, but a lot of people dispute that. But I think the fight would have gone the distance.
Yeah. Hapalum Type, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He says, congrats to Ugas. Beat Pabe the ophthalmologist. That's right. That's right. He sure did. Let's see here. Yeah, Dale from Chi-Town says Ugas versus Spence is going to be great. I agree. Gallons of Game said Spence would have smashed Pacquiao. Maestro, salute in the chat. He says that overall it was a great night of boxing, and I think we can all agree to that. I believe it was. Do you think Pacquiao steps away? I mean, he doesn't – who does he beat now? I mean, he's not going to beat Crawford. He wouldn't beat Spence.
This is something that's being talked about and being floated out there. I don't know what you think. But what about Pacquiao versus Josh Taylor at 140?
I think Josh Taylor wipes him.
Yeah.
I think Josh Taylor wipes him, yeah.
Is that interesting at all or no?
No.
No,
it's interesting for Josh Taylor.
Yeah.
It's not interesting for anybody else. I mean, you know, when he goes down in weight. I mean, again, man.
I think Pacquiao's got nothing left to prove.
He doesn't. He has nothing.
I mean, it's probably the perfect time to walk away and go off into the sunset. Why not, right?
It is because, you know what? It is because he represented himself really well last night. it wasn't like he just got, you know, like I said, I mean, it was a relatively close, you know, 116, 112, 115, 113. You know, listen, man, you can go out. He fought, and he can hold his head up high after that. He didn't get wiped. He didn't get knocked out or anything like that. He was both guys walked out of there not injured, you know, not seriously injured. Why not? I mean, it's what else he got left? What else he got left to prove? You know what I mean? It's done, man.
Well, here's another question that Maestro posed in the chat. That's a great, great question. Does Spence even come back from that retina detachment?
Now, was it a torn retina or was it detached?
They're saying it was detached now.
Wouldn't he have known if it was detached?
Yeah.
You were talking about this the other day, and you said, like, you get floaters. I get floaters,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you know, you have floaters, too?
Yeah, I have floaters, too.
And your eye doctor just says it's because of age, because the vitreous gel got...
He said it was just, that's normal. He says that, like, if you were seeing a ton of floaters, like a lot...
Like a whole coming out
yes,
at once.
That's a detached retina.
Did he mention vitreous at all to you?
He may have. It was a long time ago.
You got to start remembering these things, man. That's how come I'm so smart. I have conversations with
You take the ginseng. You take the ginseng. I just take him at his word. The doctor tells me something. I just take him at his word. I'm like, okay, I don't care. I didn't go to medical school. No, I didn't go to medical school. What do I know, you know?
You got to ask a question.
I'm an airhead.
No, but that's
I can't
why,
remember anything.
That's why. But, the thing is this, Eric, I was listening to the interview with Derek James, and Derek James was saying that, like, even if something – he's the type of guy that even if something is bothering him, he doesn't say it. He was so hell-bent on getting this fight. This is the thing. His mentality was, I'm gonna fight through this situation, and then after this fight, then I'll get the surgery. But here's the problem. That retina can go bad really quick. Like if you know when you have certain injuries, the doctor says, well, like there's this girl that had a torn ACL, right? And she's like a fitness competitor bodybuilder, but they do like routines where they jump up and down and they, you know, do moves and stuff. So she was told that with therapy, it's workable, right? But you'll have to get the surgery after the competition. That's one thing. But no ophthalmologist will say to you, like, as soon as it's discovered, you're recommended to have surgery as soon as possible,
right?
Whether
now.
It's a tear,
yeah.
Whether it's a tear or a detachment, because that can go south quickly, very easily, because the eye is a very delicate tissue, very delicate part of the anatomy, right? Doesn't take much to make that little tear become a big tear. It doesn't take much for that detachment to become a big detachment. Then the whole retina flops over. You can go blind. It can get damaged to the point where even surgery, an ophthalmic surgeon would have a hard time repairing it. So that's why, you know, people saying, oh, well, maybe they could have delayed it and he could have still. No, that type of injury goes south very quickly. No, it's not even worth it. Like, if I was told I had a torn retina, my friggin' surgery would be scheduled ASAP. I wouldn't even fuck around with it. I'd be like, give me the earliest date to get that prepared.
Yeah, earliest mess around with, man. It's a dangerous thing.
I'm glad you have floaters too, man, because it makes me feel a little bit better that I'm not the only old fucker on this podcast.
That's right. We're together in this speed. We're together here, baby.
That's right.
All right, let's go to the phones here. I want to hear what Robbie had to say about this fight. Ringside Roberts on the line.
Stop yelling and saying you had Ugas, you friggin' pony.
I picked Pacquiao, but it was a great fight, and congratulations to Ugas. And I don't think Spence is going to heal quickly. So if I'm Ugas, I try to rematch with Porter, man, because I thought he got ripped off. I thought he beat Sean Porter. And I'd like to see him do that again.
Yeah, for what? I don't want to see that fight again. Why? They can give
Eric,
the Sean Porter.
Eric
hate
rematches,
man.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen him. It's like Gil Clancy. Remember Gil Clancy?
Yeah.
He said that he used to, when he managed fighters or whatever, he said a guy would lose. He said he would go back into the locker room, and the guy would tell him, hey, man, just get him for me again. And Gil Clancy looked at him and said, you just had him. How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
You just had him.
Yeah, I know.
What difference is it going to make, man? You just had him. I want to hear it.
But no, I was very impressed with Ugas last night. And you know what? This is going to give him a higher profile, and he deserves, you know, because they kept saying last night fighters avoided him. I don't know if that's true, but if that's the case, you can't avoid him anymore. And look, Spence is, it's going to be a long time before he heals. He may not be able to come back from this. So, you know, you need to have an alternative plan. I know Porter is scheduled to go to purse bid with Crawford. I don't think that fight comes off. I think PBC and Top Rank will find a way to fuck that up. And I don't think that fight will happen. So, therefore, put Porter back in the ring with Ugas and let Dennis Ugas prove it again, you know, because I think he got ripped off the first time around. And that way he stays busy, and, you know, then we can wait and see what happens with Errol Spence, because, hey, eye injuries, take it from somebody who's had bad eyes all my life. You don't fuck around with them. And, you know, look at what Sugar Ray Leonard had to go through when he had his torn retina. You know, it took him several years to fully recover. And so Errol Spence may have more problems than what we realize, folks. It's not going to be automatic that Spence is automatically going to be able to step back in the ring and fight Ugas. So if you're PBC, you need to have other plans for Ugas. You can't wait for somebody to heal.
Let me ask you a question, Robert. If you're advising Manny Pacquiao, what do you advise him to do?
Hey.
Say it, Robbie. Say it, Robbie.
You had a wonderful career, and it's time for you to go run your country. That's what it's time to do.
Yeah, but use your catchphrase. Use your catchphrase.
What's your catchphrase when you know?
It's time for you to find something else to do. Okay. There you go. I give him all the props in the world. He didn't pull a Floyd Mayweather and take all these money fights and exhibitions and stuff like that. He fought tough guys all the way to the end, and he's got nothing to be ashamed of. And I think the style did have a lot to do with you know, the fact that because when you're going to fight an Errol Spence and then all of a sudden, 10 days before the fight, you have to fight a Cuban-style boxer, 10 days is not long enough to prepare for that. So, you know, hey, you had a wonderful career. Go run your country. Go be a successful president. But seriously, if I'm in Ugas's camp, I don't wait on Errol Spence. I try to make fights with Sean Porter. I rematch that fight. I give Boots Ennis a title shot. Jamal James. I start giving people legitimate title shots, and when Spence is healthy and the doctors say he's healthy, then you can schedule that fight.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm a champion, I stay out of Boots Ennis' way. I don't go near him.
I think he's the next thing in the welterweight division. I think once Boots gets a title shot, he's going to dominate the welterweight division.
Yeah.
He's the next real deal, folks.
As much as I like Virgil Ortiz, I think Boots is going to be the next star.
Yeah, Virgil, I think, has a lot of flaws. I think defensively he has a lot of flaws, but he's so good.
He's so good offense. His offense makes up for his defense.
For sure.
The problem with Ortiz, say if you put him in against a guy like Ugas, who has wonderful defense, once he runs into somebody like that and he can't hit them, he don't know how to do anything else. He don't have any fallback plans.
How underrated, Robbie, is Ugas' defense? And how underrated is Ugas in general, right? Everyone really underrates this guy. Now, like you said, I'm not discounting anything Eric's saying about Pacquiao slowing down.
Right.
But I also want to make a point that the style matchup was a problem as well.
Yeah. No, he was preparing for a normal type fighter that he's used to fighting. I don't think Manny Pacquiao has ever fought a Cuban-type fighter. Am I wrong about that? In his 72 fights, can you ever remember him fighting another Cuban-type fighter that had the type of defense that Ugas had last night? I don't think so.
No, but you know what the thing about Ugas too is, he doesn't move as much as other boxers that have that background. You know what I mean? He stays stationary. It just blocks and catches and makes subtle shifts of his head and upper body. He stays right in the pocket with you, and either catches and counters, or he just slips and counters.
And
he fights very bravely.
Yeah, and I don't think Ugas has, you know, real big punching power. He's only got 12 knockouts. But obviously, when he does get hit with a punch, he knows how to take it, because I don't think he's ever been put on the canvas, has he?
Ugas, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I have to research that.
You know,
Let me jump in real quick, Robert. Hang on one second.
Okay.
Marco Hernandez, thank you so much. He said he got some Manscaped over the weekend and used his Ringside Reporter for a discount. So
good.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Robert, did you get your Manscaped yet?
I told you. I use it regularly, man. I have lots of hair.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Good job, Robert.
All right, Robert, coming through, yeah. Baby.
There we go.
Right, yeah, right?
Yeah, there we go. That's how I look at the fight. And look, I enjoyed the pay-per-view, but honestly, I don't want to ever see Victor Ortiz or Robert Ghost Guerrero ever again. That should not have been on a pay-per-view.
Oh, come on.
That was horrible.
Come on, Robert. What should they do now?
They both should find something else to do. Neither one of them should have been fighting last night. Come on, that was awful.
I agree. That was bad. That was bad.
I mean,
that was the worst fight on the card, I think.
Yeah, it was. It was boring.
It had a good start. It had a good start, but then it kind of fizzled out. The crowd was booing and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, it was terrible.
It was terrible.
All right, guys, come on. Hit the like button for me. Hit the like button for me, guys.
63 people watching, only 37 likes. Please, guys.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Come on,
one
everybody.
One little click of the finger.
Come on, everybody. Support the channel.
Come on.
Just like Ugas was flicking out that jab last night, flick out that finger and hit that like button.
There it is. Jab the like button.
Jab the like button, as D-Style likes to say.
That's right. Yeah, he coined that phrase, didn't he?
Yep.
Yes, he did.
All right. All right, Robert, let me jump off here. I'm going to put you on hold. And,
all right.
Yeah, Robert says that baseball players ice their arm, not boxers.
That's
correct.
I agree.
But who's his best friend, Robert?
His best friend is Aroldis Chapman, another Cuban.
Who did he play for? Who did Aroldis Chapman play for?
Well, now he plays for the New York Yankees, but he started with the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, baby, title town. All right, there it is right there. Boom. Yeah. So, proof.
So if my friend is a brain surgeon, does that mean I'm going to go start slicing people's heads open?
That has no correlation at all.
It does.
That has no correlation at all, Beep.
So if my
go
best
back
friend,
and work that up, all right? So if your best
my,
friend cuts
my
down
best
trees,
friend is a pink, if,
go ahead.
My best friend is a ping pong player, right?
Sure.
When I'm waiting in line at the supermarket, am I going to pull out my paddle and start hitting the ball?
No.
It has nothing to do with that. Makes no. There's no correlation with boxing and baseball. They're two different sports, Eric.
He's a pitcher and he uses his arm. He's a boxer.
Oh,
he uses his
no,
arm.
Oh my God, Eric!
It is. Listen. I don't control what Ugas
does. Is there any athlete that uses one arm more than a pitcher?
Arm wrestler.
I'm not talking about when
you
do that. No.
Are you? Oh, how dare you! How dare you bring that up? I told you that in confidence. I'm going to move on. What's the matter with you? Told you that stuff in confidence, and you just betrayed my confidence right here on the show. Thank you, Beeb. Yeah. I'm firing. Robert Guerrero versus Victor Ortiz. Guerrero wins a unanimous decision, 96-94 on all three cards. this was this wasn't good, man. This wasn't good. I thought, you know what? I thought Guerrero was going to get him out of there. And that, or
you think one? I had Ortiz winning the fight.
You know what? I'll be honest. I didn't even pay that much attention to it to even score it. To be honest,
I don't think anyone scored it because they didn't care. I think they were.
Nobody cared about this fight.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about this fight, and the fact that it went the distance made people even care less. In that first round, when Ortiz hit him with a shot and he wobbled him, I thought for sure. I was like, this is, you know, he's gonna get him out of there. And Ortiz does what he always does, and that's just fold up and he just finishes the fight. Nothing special about him. Nothing special about Guerrero anymore. Guerrero looked old in that fight, and he still beat Ortiz. So both of you guys, man, just hang it up, man. Go to 7-Eleven to hang out or become bodyguard somewhere because, it just ain't working, man. Mark Magsayo versus Julio Ceja. Magsayo knocks out Julio Ceja cold. And when I say cold, I mean cold. He was done, son. The fight went back and forth. Ceja went down early, and he looked almost out early, but took control of the fight. Magsayo looked like he was gassed in like the fifth round or something like that.
Yeah,
but
he was getting tired. The body shots from Ceja were really starting to pay dividends.
Man, Ceja looked really good up until that 10th round. And he got hit with a right hand. Say I got hit with a right hand on the ropes, and he was out. On his way down, Magsayo hit him again, which he should have done. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault at all. I mean, the referee, I don't even know if there was enough time for that referee to get in there, to be honest with you. Some people were criticizing the referee, but I don't even know that there was enough time.
No, he had a bad angle, Eric.
Yeah, I don't know if there was enough time for that referee to get in there. So I can't really fault the referee. He got hit, and he got hit on the way down. I'm sure he didn't feel a one on the way down. But he was out for a minute, and he got up, he sat on the stool, and then he laid back down. I was like, uh-oh. I don't know why they didn't roll him out of there on a stretcher. He walked back to the dressing room. Why he wasn't rolled out, I have no clue, but whatever. Mauricio Sulaiman, excuse me, posted that he talked to, Bob Bennett or whatever, and he said that he was diagnosed with a broken orbital, but thankfully no brain bleed. So it was a scary, scary knockout. If you saw it was a really scary knockout. I don't like to see knockouts like that, man. That was tough,
I guess it's easy to – I don't know if I've ever heard of so many – maybe there were a lot of broken orbital bones back in the day, but we just never heard of them. I don't know, but
– yeah.
I've never heard of, you know, so many cases of broken orbital bones in the sport of boxing before. You know?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, but maybe they're just being diagnosed now. I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows what's going on?
I don't know. Carlos Castro wins via 10th round TKO over Oscar Escandon. Escandon actually looked pretty good in this fight at times. This was a decent fight. It was good back and forth, you know?
Yeah. First two fights are very good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go to the phones here. 508, I believe this is Georgie.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Georgie.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people?
What's up?
Yo, yo.
Hi, Georgie. What's going on, baby?
Listen, man. I'm not happy. Let me burn. I'm fucking happy. I see you guys gliding over the problem again. Gliding over the fucking
mafias?
Main issue once again. Ignoring the mafias once again. And I got to come here to show you the fucking light. Jesus. Here we go. Yo, Beef. You remember Lara and Josh Warrington?
Yes.
What happened there?
Yes, I do.
What happened
Big
there?
Upset. Big upset.
And what they got? They got Josh Watson, the number one in the world, right?
Josh, right? Yep. Yeah, he was. Yep.
Where Lara came from? Nobody. Nobody even knew this man. And that shit was an ass whipping.
Sure, he's got a lot of friends.
Keep that on mind.
Your family.
Keep that shit on mind right there. Now, what happened with Porter and fucking Ugas?
I thought that Ugas should have won that fight, but he lost by split decision. I didn't agree with the scoring on that fight, to be honest.
There is that consensus. Listen, there is that consensus and a core among hardcores and even casual likes that he got robbed, that Ugas got robbed. Now, as the shroud of the dark side keeps falling on your eyes, what does that tell you? Why I'm bringing the Josh versus Lyle fight?
Why don't you stick the kumquats out of your mouth and get to the point?
Well, the point is that what you think it is out there is a fucking mirage. Ugas probably beat the fuck
Halo effect.
Kids, beat the
rose-colored glasses, halo effect.
Beat the fuck out of all these cats. Not today, 4 years ago. Way back ago. But we get all this mirage that these are the people in the industry, that these are the top cats. And every time these mafias get exposed, it's an upset. Nah, it ain't an upset. They be fucking blocking Ugas since day one. So you guys can have your mirage and your illusion and your perception of reality that this mafia want to bring to your eyes. Yeah, I got the number one welterweight in the world. Oh, really you do? You really do? But you guys don't see that. Why?
Do you know what he's talking about? I don't follow him.
I guess what he's trying to say is they've been robbing this guy for years. Now all of a sudden they don't rob him, and now we're supposed to forget about all the robberies. Is that your point? Is that your point, Georgie?
No. My point is, once again, because somehow you guys don't click on your brain. What are you being shown? What you being shown and presented, serve on the platter, is not reality. When PBC make you believe that he got the four horsemen, I got Porter, I got Keith, I got fucking... Listen, these are people that they pulled there. Are they good? Yes. But we will never know who is the best because they will never put it on jeopardy. Ugas got robbed against Porter right there. So everybody...
Right, but he won the big fight against Pacquiao. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, but you think Ugas woke up this morning thinking about Sean Porter? I mean, he just beat Pacquiao, man.
Baby, oh,
you see that fiance that
right?
He has, man?
Yeah,
man,
how about that, man?
Oh, my God. You're like, what is he? He has no worries in the world, man.
Dying peace.
She is like...
Baby,
but
it don't matter. You don't get the point. Do you? I don't understand how you don't understand
you
what
don't
I'm
even
telling
care.
You.
You
what
don't
I'm
even
telling
care,
you about...
Like, Explain to me what the problem is. So you're trying to tell me that all these guys over at the PBC, all these welterweights, they're overrated. Is that your point?
Not over PBC. Everywhere.
Okay.
These people
overrated.
Don't listen. If these people fight each other the way they're supposed to.
He's basically saying that everybody's overrated. Overrated.
No. What I'm saying is, clear as day, that this mafia project, this aura, this fucking mirage of having the best, competing against the best, and it's not true.
Oh, so it's not really the best versus the best because none of these guys have really proven themselves yet.
They don't fight the competition that he's supposed to fight. That's what it is. And we keep it the world. Yeah.
I got
you. Anybody, even hardcore.
I got you.
Who's the top welterweight in the world? Everybody going to tell you the same fucking names. The same names.
I think Terrence Crawford
is
the best welterweight in the world.
Like they did with Josh. The same thing that they do with Josh. Look at what happened when Anthony Joshua came to the United States. Beat the fuck up. That fight should have never happened, like the Ugas fight should have never happened. And what happened? They get exposed. Why?
I guess, Georgie, if you say.
Maybe it's there to be seen. We cannot go fucking what this mafia say, the number one guy, and the number one guy, and this motherfucking sitting fucking around for fucking a year and a half to make $20 million on some bullshit-ass so-called competition. And you guys come here instead of fucking define what the problem is. Oh, Ugas was overrated. Nah, he wasn't overrated. He been black. I don't have a lot to say.
I said he was underrated. I said Ugas was underrated.
But he's not underrated.
Not
the perception that they want to put out there is that he don't have all the tools. That's what they want to make you believe. Like I said, I don't have a lot to
against
say
Ugas.
If you don't get that.
You don't get
my point, it's beyond me. I got to go. Everybody support the channel. Shout out to the UK, the USA, Maori.
Wow, that was crazy.
That was, yeah. Yeah, thank you so much, Aaron Daly. He said, great show as usual. Shout out to Legend Georgie. Yes, he is a legend, that's for sure. What was he saying? I don't understand what he was saying.
So basically he's saying that Ugas beat if you think Ugas beat Pacquiao, whatever, and then he beat Porter, he's basically saying all those guys really aren't as good as they're being portrayed to be. So Ugas beating them doesn't really mean that much, I guess. I don't know.
He picked Pacquiao before the fight. He picked Pacquiao. I know he picked Pacquiao.
And then he's also saying that, like, you know, Ugas was better than what everyone believed because they were keeping Ugas down, in other words, I guess.
He wasted his time. He wasted our time.
Oh, it was good entertainment value, though.
Not for me. Here you go, 718. You're live.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing, Joe and Eric? Yeah, this fight was pretty good, man. I don't know what this guy's saying, but Ugas is a high-quality fighter. He was highly ranked before he got this fight. He was number one contender for the WBA. See that regular belt, man, it helps develop talent because this guy, he got that regular belt and he improved as a fighter. So that's why the WBA is hesitant with getting rid of those belts because it creates talent. It creates talent. It makes a guy, you know, walk with his chest out because he got that regular belt. And he got elevated, and this fight here, he proved that he's the super champion. To me, in my opinion, I think he beat him better than Floyd. I know he's not he's a little older, but he was on a winning streak. Pacquiao, he beat a couple of guys, and he himself improved with a regular belt. And this fight was pretty good. I mean, all it took was one mistake from Ugas, and Ugas would have been defeated. But Ugas maintained his composure. He kept boxing. He kept messing up that guy's rhythm with the jab. The jab it messes people's rhythm also. That's one of the things. And he held his head and won the fight. And he was always fit for that fight. I don't know what was his purse. What was his purse for this fight, Joe? You don't know? Ugas?
I heard Pacquiao got $5 million, but no one is releasing what Ugas got. I don't know.
He only made $5 million. That was his base.
Pacquiao's guarantee was reported as $5 million.
Gotcha.
I think I'm guessing Ugas maybe got $500,000, maybe $750,000.
Yeah.
So look at that.
He'll give
him
that when it's done, but I mean,
he didn't make a lot of money in this fight, so he had to be on an A game. So he could cash in with that belt. I hear he might give him a rematch. He might offer Pacquiao a rematch. Maybe Pacquiao wants to go out like that, getting another try. Rematches is for Ugas. He needs rematches because he beat Jamal James. Jamal James is a WBA 147 regular champion also. So you got to give him a crack at that. The guy in the shadows is Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman's been doing a lot of PR work for the PBC. I guess he wants to, you know, get a chance to fight Ugas. So Ugas, if he could get a good winning streak here. I don't know if he's gonna be knocking out any of these guys. Most of these guys got sturdy chins and they're kind of high caliber. All the fighters there that he's gonna be fighting, but he could win like a Floyd style, like with that jab. You're gonna see a lot of distant wins. You're going to see a lot of high-quality boxing. He has a glamour about him. You know, he's starting to develop a glamour celebrity status, him and his wife, when he walks in. And he's quiet. He says what he needs to say, and he doesn't get into, like, any other nonsense. And he's coming from Florida. Florida is expanding right now. The population is growing, so he's getting all those Floridian Cubans, all those people that are migrating over there to watch his fights. I heard people saying in NBC, oh, Uga just beat Manny Pacquiao and Fox News and everybody. So he's getting, by beating Pacquiao, he put himself in a limelight. He put himself in the mainstream. So there's a lot of good opportunities for him. I don't know if he's going to get that Errol Spence right away. I don't know if he's going to get Terrence Crawford. It's true, if that negotiation doesn't go through with Sean Porter, Sean Porter might try to fight him. But there's going to be a couple of rematches now, and I'm pretty sure Keith Thurman is going to get a chance to contest for that belt, his old belt. I don't know if he could put it through because Ugas got that jab. He could mess him up the same way he did to Pacquiao. But you never know what he might do one time. He might catch him on a chin. But Ugas looks like he got a granite chin too. So he's an improved fighter. That was a good fight. I want to see some stability in the welterweight division right now. And also there's a guy right now from South Africa that picked up the Pan-African belt. He was also the ideal champion for Ronnie Binge. He's right there. He's highly ranked. He's in the top 10. So you never know. He might go to South Africa or bring that guy from South Africa and fight him. Durrani Binge, he's pretty popular over there. So there's a lot of good fights coming up for the 147. Boots Ellis, I think he's too green. He's too green for Ugas right now. They should let him simmer a little more before he goes in the ring with a guy like Ugas because he's too green. And also Virgil Ortiz is too green. So you guys have a great night. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak in your show. Thank you.
Messed up. I don't think Blog Talk is messed up.
I don't know.
I mean, it looks okay to me. All right, let's go to 530. 530, you're live.
Okay, Eric, it was out for a while, but now it's back.
Okay, you're good. All right, hang on, Robert, I'll put you back on hold.
All right.
You said it was out, now it's back. Huh.
All right.
That's right. Boxer Girl says he's taking me time. That's right. That's the best time. Makes me time your best time. There you go. Even Boxer Girl's in on this.
I mean, practice.
I don't love that.
I always say practice makes perfect. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Not going to touch that one. Not going to touch that one. All right. Upcoming fights. What do we got coming on? Oh, it's going down, Beeb. You know what's coming up, don't you?
I'm not sure if I can buy this one.
To me, you don't know if you can buy this one.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to get into this one, but I just can't for some reason.
To me?
I don't know, man. Are you going to buy it?
It's in Titletown. Yeah, I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
What's the matter with you? This could be quite possibly the biggest fight around. Biggest fight of the year right here. Cleveland, Ohio on Showtime pay-per-view Saturday, August 29th. I think it's Saturday. I think it might be Sunday. It's Sunday, August 29th. What's the show on Sunday? Why are they doing this on Sunday now? Why are they doing this on Sunday?
Should I buy this?
SummerSlam was even on, like, Saturday. So, yeah, you should. He's going to buy it. He's lying. That's right.
I'll probably buy it.
Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley, 8 rounds, cruiserweights. All right, let's see here. Are we having issues with Blog Talk, Beam? Is that what Robert's saying?
He's back. It's
all right.
That was okay. Before. Perfect. That was before. No I'm problem. So sorry. That was before.
That's all right. That's all right. All right. Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley, 8 rounds, cruiserweights. I think Jake Paul dog walks Tyron Woodley. Amanda Serrano versus Yemileth Mercado, 10 rounds for Serrano's WBC and WBO featherweight titles. You know, Beam, she doesn't even own a cell phone. Doesn't even have boyfriend, nothing.
Did you see that tweet?
What is everybody else stupid? Everybody is stupid but her, right? Everybody else is dumb but her.
And then it's being tweeted out on
Twitter. Tell them about the tweet, babe.
So there's a tweet out there saying that I don't have a boyfriend. I don't even have a cell phone. She goes, I could deal without the boyfriend, but I need a cell phone. And meanwhile, you know, you can see in the corner it says iPhone and it has the time and date of the tweet. But I guess D-Star was telling me someone tweets for her, I guess. I don't know. She doesn't run her own Twitter.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, of course.
But why would it be mentioned that I don't own a cell phone? I don't know. It's like it's mentioned like I. It's not saying she. It's like I don't. So
right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I don't like it. It's, you know what it is? It's shady, babe.
I have a hard time believing she doesn't have a cell phone.
Hard time believing it. Yeah, she's lying. Of course she has a cell phone.
I don't believe it. That she doesn't have a cell phone.
Was she using her boyfriend's cell phone to take the to do the thing? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe she was at.
Supposedly doesn't have a boyfriend either.
Maybe she was at Walmart and she said, "Hey, can I borrow your phone, man?
Hey, you mind if I borrow this phone that I can post on, you know, Twitter real quick?"
Yeah, I mean, she has a Twitter account, so I mean.
Montana Love versus Ivan Baranchuk, 8 rounds welterweight. This card is stacked, son. Daniel Dubois versus Giuseppe Angelo Cusumano. That's a solid fight. And let me tell you what, Beebe. And Daniel Dubois is going to prove to you in Ohio that you were wrong about him. You put the poor mouth on him when he got beat, and you called him everything in the book. And you know what? You're going to eat those words. Tommy Fury versus Anthony Taylor, 6 rounds, catch weights of about 180 pounds. So there you go. That's solid, right? And that's the only fight next week. Are you kidding me? That's it?
That's the only card next week? Jeez.
Yeah.
Nice. Jesus.
But that's enough, right? That card is stacked, no?
It's a decent card.
Montana Love on the card? Ohio's own Montana Love?
Robbie just texted me. He goes, "I'm not buying that stupid, ridiculous card."
Oh, how dare you? How dare you? Wow.
"I'm not buying that stupid, ridiculous pay-per-view event next Sunday. It's terrible that there's no boxing on next Saturday."
Can Robbie know how to get the event?
Yeah, of course he does. Come on. Oh, crack. Oh, it's only $50?
Yeah, see, there you go.
I'll buy it then. I'll buy it.
Of course we're buying it.
It's only $50, Robbie. Come on.
Of course we're buying it, son. Got to support Titletown. All right. Speaking of Titletown, before we go back to the phones here, Charles Conwell. Steve, you know where he's from, don't you? Right. Charles Conwell told ESPN that he faked a hand injury. This is where it gets a little tricky here. Charles Conwell told ESPN that he faked a hand injury on advice of his manager, David McWhorter, so that he could get out of a fight on April 8th against Ivan Golub. McWhorter told Conwell to fake the injury so he can get paid twice as much on a different card that, of course, didn't happen. McWhorter also happens to be Teofimo Lopez's manager. Coincidence? I don't know. So, yeah, that's not a good thing to do. I tell you what, it's not a good thing to do. Now it's out. I don't know why he copped to it. I don't understand, like, why he came out and said, "I said I was injured when I was." That's only going to hurt you in the long run.
It's kind of stupid, bro. You just fucking told on you. You didn't tell on your manager. You told on yourself, too.
I think it's pretty dumb. Yeah, I think it's really
dumb.
That's like
saying, "Oh, well, this guy made me rob a bank." Doesn't mean you're not going to go to jail for robbing the bank, too. I mean, come on, bro.
Yeah. So it's not good. Not a good look. Major Key Boxing, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He said, "Good work out here, guys. I'm not buying that card. Great undercard, but the main event is irrelevant." Irrelevant? You know, in two fights, I bet all he's going to need is two fights. Jake Paul will fight Canelo, and Jake Paul will beat Canelo. He's the only guy, I think, that has a shot to beat Canelo. Beeb, what about you? You think he has a shot to beat Canelo?
At what? At
like Yahtzee or something like that, or like a spelling contest? I mean,
I don't know,
he's not going to beat him in the ring. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's not going to beat him in the ring. Maybe Monopoly.
Like Monopoly or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like that, you know.
Yahtzee.
That's right. That's
bowling.
Right. Bowling. Maybe cornhole, you know.
I love that game, cornhole. You good at that?
I bet you do.
Oh, shit. Can't even come back from that. Oh, God.
Our boy Don King turned 90 this week, Beebe. Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Oh,
he's the best
God.
Promoter in the game. He really is. He robbed a lot of fighters and broke a lot of them and stuff like that. But, I mean, hey, he put on good cards. At the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. Nine five one. You're live.
951, you're live. 951.
Hello?
Hello?
Maybe,
all right, 773, you're live. Maybe there is
an
issue with Block Talk. I don't know. Hey, what's going on?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, sounds like Block Talk is back. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right.
Yeah, cornhole. it is a fun game.
Stop it.
We call it bad.
He plays that in Rikers. So, yeah, there you go.
Yes. Yeah, you got a tap on the shoulder today for sure after the, after that rant. I'll tell you, the Charles Conwell thing, that's not going to help with guys like Georgie. That's not going to help, you know? So, anyway, I just wanted to call, it's been a while, and Eric, shout out for that T-shirt.
Yeah, Pitts, outside.
Go White Sox. They're yeah, man, they're going. They have a really good chance this year, and I'm calling from the south side of Chicago, actually. So there you go.
There you go.
So props. Props to the new title town. No.
The new title town.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, we just call real quick about the fight and stuff. So I'm sure you have other callers. Yeah. So. Ugas, I was a little wide. I was 117, 111 for Ugas. And I had about rounds to two. Were you? Okay. I missed the first 10 minutes of the show. So. Okay, cool. No? Cool. Yeah, I had a – I was – that's awesome. Yeah, it's great. My ticket like you. I was 4-2 after six, though. And I gave him the 10th. So I also gave him the 10th. 11, I thought, was kind of swing. Could have gone either way, but and then Ugas just landed the better shots, the harder shots, and he was definitely more accurate, that's for sure. And he just, he just controlled the whole thing. Shout out to him. Shout out for being completely fight ready for the biggest fight of his life on 2 weeks' notice, too. I mean, that's impressive. Talk about staying in shape. So, real happy for him. Manny's got nothing to be ashamed of. You know, I mean, what a career. Yeah, like Robbie said, maybe it's time to find something else to do, like run for president. That's about it. I was a little miffed about buying this one. But the card wound up being pretty good, like you said, you know, sans Guerrero. Pretty good card, and not bad. I'm not buying next week, sorry, Eric.
what's that?
$50 though. That at least they're being smart. You know, like 50. It's like okay. You know, 75. It's I'm getting tired of it.
And you
so,
see
yeah,
one of
I'm
the
like
best fighters in the world with Jake Paul.
Of course. And he's from Tylertown. no, but I mean, yeah, but it's smart to price him like that because, unlike you, I don't mind rematches, but like you, I don't like pay-per-view, so I still buy them, but this one I'll probably sit out, especially after just getting this one, you know what I mean? So anyway, that's my good
bucks,
show, guys.
Yeah, and then,
yeah, exactly. I know once the Spence injury happened, it was kind of too late to switch gears. I get that, but it made it hurt a little worse. Like, oh, come on, man. It wound up being a great fight, actually, maybe even better. Who knows? And when Ugas and Spence happens, I can't wait for that, if and when that happens, should I say. But, yeah, anyway, that was a good one. And everyone smash the like button, jab it, or land a lead right hand like Ugas did all night. I was surprised about that, too. He was landing lead right hands like crazy. So that was probably part of the difference, too. So anyway, good show, guys, and, you know, take care, and you know, I'll call in another 8 months.
All right, Dale. Good luck to the White Sox. Good luck to the White Sox in postseason. I'm sure they'll do well. Reds are also going to be in postseason, too. They're going to be in a wild card spot, son. I don't know.
I hope Spence can fight again. I hope
it's not. Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's not going to. No, yeah, I'm sure.
You think he'll come?
Again.
Oh, I hope he can come back. I hope he can come
young.
Back.
He's young. Yeah, he'll be fine, man. He'll be fine. All right, let's talk about this. Caleb Plant and Canelo Beeb, it's finally done. What is it, November 8th? Is that when they're fighting?
November 6th.
November 6th, okay.
Yeah. Good date.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. So, yeah, but I think that it'll be a good fight. That's definitely pay-per-view worthy. I'm curious to see who they put on the undercard with him.
The Fury Wilder undercard's not bad.
That's a pretty good undercard. That's a pretty good undercard. On paper, that's a pretty good undercard.
Sanchez versus Ajagba, that's a good fight, bro.
Yeah, that is. That's a really
good
fight.
That's a real good fight.
That's a real good fight. So
that's what sucks, though, too, because we're going to have a fucking pay-per-view in October, then November. Is there any pay-per-views coming up in September? No, there's no pay-per-views in September, I don't think. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you save all your money, and then, what is it? So, $80 for this pay-per-view, $50 for this pay-per-view coming up this weekend.
No, this was actually $75, I think, which isn't that much better than $80, but obviously it's still a lot of money.
Right. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, they got to start thinking about the people here, man. I'll tell you why.
Then we got Joshua Usyk in September, but we have that on the zone.
Yeah,
so
that's
good.
On the zone, so that's good.
But I think that Fury Wilder event is going to be a good one. So they stacked the undercard for that one. They have plenty of time to put a good one together. So
it should be action packed. That undercard should be action packed, and that's
all heavyweight fights too. All heavyweight.
Yeah, that's what's going to be good.
Don King used to do that. He used to put on those heavyweight extravaganzas.
I don't know why nobody learns from Don King, man. Remember the repeat of revenge card he put on where they were all four title fights? You never see that anymore. You never see that anymore. I heard he used to charge a lot. He used to charge like locker room fees, towel fees, everything like that. That's why people hated him. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so this news, Gervonta Davis tweeted out yesterday. He was in a plane crash.
That's crazy, yeah.
It is real crazy. He said the plane took off, but it didn't. It, like, crashed. You know, like, it
on
took
the
off. And,
on the runway. On
yeah.
The runway, kind of crazy. No one got hurt, though.
No, luckily he's okay and his people are okay and everything like that. But, man, that's got to freak you out, right?
Scary.
I wouldn't get on a plane after that.
That's scary, bro.
No. They say the times when you're most likely to crash, like 30 seconds to a minute right after takeoff and then right into landing.
That's usually what happens?
Crash. Yep. Those are the two times that planes usually get in accidents, is right in the takeoff.
That is nuts.
They say once you're in there, once you're en route, you're probably okay. And they say coming down for landings, you know, it could be a little shaky for landings, but but that's nuts, man.
That's insane, bro.
Notorious said the De La Hoya pay-per-view is only $40. He'll buy that. Well, I'm not buying the De La Hoya.
Is that one next month? Is that
September 16th? Yeah, September Mexican Independence Day weekend or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Yeah, I'm not buying that either.
Definitely not buying that.
No, that's terrible. That's a terrible card too.
I could care less about that fight.
Do they even have it listed? Who they got? Yeah. Oscar De La Hoya versus Vitor Belfort. Because De La Hoya was talking about fighting, you know, major guys, and he's fighting Vitor Belfort, a guy who never had.
And he's,
you know,
he's not even fighting 3-minute rounds either. Right?
Two minute rounds. Yeah, he's fighting 2-minute rounds. Come on, son. I can't stand De La Hoya. I never did like De La Hoya, to be honest with you. Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz, 8 rounds cruiserweights. David Haye versus Joe Fournier, 8 rounds heavyweights. Andy Ventus. Yeah, David Haye's coming back on that. Stop it. I'm done. Just stop. Not doing it.
Yeah,
then Ray Ryder says you're a massive De La Hoya fan, Beeb. What are you going to do? All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week. Don't forget your Manscaped. Guys, go get it. Ringside Reporter, code Ringside Reporter.
Yeah, get your Manscaped, guys.
Listen to them.